And thank you for joining us at Captivating Conversation.
You're listening to The Sound.
Welcome to Captivating Conversations. I'm your host, Michelle Jones. This evening, we will be welcoming and celebrating the release of The Deliverance from Witchcraft with our author, Gemma Henry, will be actually joining us for today's topic. The book, again, is Deliverance from Witchcraft. Gemma Henry, many of you know her. You refer to her as a woman called Moses. She's an evangelist, an anointed woman of God, and she joins us today. Gemma, good evening. How are you? Gemma, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Very good. Yes. Okay, very good.
I'm grateful for this opportunity.
Well, great. We're so glad to have you this evening, Jim. I'm so excited to be discussing your new book, newly released, Deliverance from Witchcraft. If you haven't already picked up a copy, you can go to www.deliverancefromwitchcraft.com to actually get your copy of the book. It's out on the market already, and it is a good read. So to start with, I just want to ask you a couple questions. There will be an opportunity throughout the show for others to actually ask questions or to get some clarification or just to directly interface with you, Gemma. Would you be okay with that?
Yes, I most certainly would be okay with that.
Okay, well, great. Just to start with, I'd like to ask you, what inspired you to write this particular book, Deliverance from Witchcraft?
This book, I was in a church during worship on the 22nd of January 2017, and Bishop Jakes was preaching from a series, and his sermon on that day was entitled Being Double-Crossed. And we were in high worship, just praising God in the middle of the sermon, and the Holy Spirit just dropped the title of the book in my spirit, Deliverance from Witchcraft. I was just like, oh my gosh, and I received it. It was just like a raindrop. It was just a swift little quick drop, and I received it wholeheartedly, and I wrote it down. And that is what inspired me. God gave me the title, and I would say it's a book assigned. It was an assignment from God. So that's how I got it.
Wow, that gave me chills just to think that just in the inkling of an eye, and I've experienced that where God will give you an assignment right at that moment, something that you didn't even envision, you had not even thought, had the forethought of perhaps maybe you may want to write a book, but just in a twinkling of an eye, he dropped it in your spirit.
Well, I always knew because I would write poetry, I would write sermons, you know, I had lots of messages, and I always knew I had to write a book. I prayed to encourage other people to write books, but I was just waiting, asking God, what shall I write first? You know, like a woman having children, what are you going to have first, a boy or a girl? So I know that there was always a first book, so I was just waiting on God's time, and that was the time.
Well, good. I love it. So the title, Deliverance from Witchcraft, is very direct, straight to the point. Can you expand a little bit just on the title itself? Can you explain that?
Okay, Deliverance from Witchcraft is deliverance. And then witchcraft, it was the God's biblical perspective on witchcraft. And it is really manipulation, being manipulated by someone else. And God calls it witchcraft in the Bible. I was experiencing some painful situations in my life years ago, and I was a victim of different, you know, circumstances. And I remember standing in my kitchen and in my house and saying, Heavenly Father, that Joseph was thrown into prison through no fault of his own. And that kept me going. And I realized afterwards, when I came to the United States, that everything that I went through, it was really manipulation. I allowed myself to be manipulated, which I didn't know, I didn't understand. I was naive. And so the book is about helping those who have been manipulated or controlled or abused or misused in any way. It's a wake-up call to for them to realize, hey, you're being used, you're being misused, you're being manipulated. Wake up. God, that's not God's plan for you. And he has a way of escape. He can deliver you from out of that situation. And then, as he did with the children of Israel, he pulled them out of Egypt. And then he delivered Egypt out of them. So God is able to, as he did what he did for me, he can do for others. And this is what I will, like my motivation also. So the title of the book is Deliverance from Manipulation.
Okay. Well, do you think that what you went through personally was preparation for birthing this book?
Yes, most definitely. Because as I was seeking God about what am I going to, write in this book, and that's when the Holy Spirit reminded me it's my life story. So, and what he brought me through and how he came through as a mighty God and what caused the turnaround in my life. So, yes.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit gave you this particular assignment. Why do you think this particular assignment was given to you, Gemma?
I believe because God knew when it was time that I would release it, I will tell it all.
Mm-hmm.
During my time of seeking God, after I received the title, the Holy Spirit of Truth revealed through God's holy book from the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verses 4 to 5. And I'll read that. It states, because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that sells nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I'm against thee, said the Lord of hosts. I will discover your skirts upon your face. I will show the nations your nakedness and the kingdoms your shame. So what God was saying, so that was the foundation scripture he gave me to build upon. And he's saying, because there's so much, God, the Bible calls it whoredom. It's whoredom. It's a spirit of whoredom. And we've all been victim to that. And it's well-favored. It's a well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft. And the purpose of this entity is to sell nations through the spirit of whoredoms. It's a selling. It's merchandising of nations and peoples and families. And God said, I would like to expose it. God said, I'm against this, because the Lord of hosts is the Lord who fights our battles for us. And God, he was against it. And he wants people to know what the spirit of witchcraft is all about. And then he had me look at my life, how it entered into my life, how I became a victim, So the Holy Spirit gave me this assignment, knowing that I had come through, I had been used, allowed myself to be used without knowing it. I had certain red flags, didn't know what it was about. And then when it was in God's timing, he brought me out, but then deliverance was a process. So all of these seeds were inside of me and just waiting to be germinated. And this season in my life, God has divinely selected, as Bishop Jakes was ministering, watering those seeds, and they just sprouted up. It was just about God's perfect timing. And I want to thank God for that.
Well, I think also he knew that you would be the one that would bring the message forward, Gemma. And
yes.
That brings me to my next question. You refer to yourself, the woman called Moses. This is a pen you use to describe you, your work in the spiritual realm. Why have you chosen that particular pen name?
When I submitted the manuscript, I used my original name. It's a nonfiction book. It's based on fact, biblical facts, and then facts about what happened in my life, and they were true. And when I submitted it, it went to the content department, and they were concerned about libel. They were saying that they gave me options, either I can use a pen name or I can use fictitious names. I said, no, I cannot use fictitious names, because it's true. So I started going through it, making sure I didn't have people's real names, and seeing how I could change it and still keep the meat of the story with the facts. They even said, if they had suggested that if any of the people who had manipulated me, if they were deceased, it was okay. And actually, they are all deceased. And God is a great God, because I didn't know anything. I was naive. I had no clue. I had no inkling. I didn't know people did wicked things. I had no idea about that. And so when I said, no, I'm watering down this message, this is a true message. So I decided to instead to use the pen name, because it's not about me. It's about God's deliverance. It's about who he is. And I refer to in different parts of the book how he appeared to me, how he revealed himself to me by his names. I didn't know. I didn't know him. I wasn't that familiar with him. And so he revealed him, the thing that he revealed about himself to me. And so that's why I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead. Since it's all about the Lord, it's all about declaring his name, I used to pray for years, according to John 17. Lord, I would like to make your name manifest in all the earth. I would like to make your name manifest. I want to make your name well known. I want people to know who you are. And that has been my prayer for years. And I realized this book is an answer to prayer. So that's why I use the woman called Moses. Moses was a deliverer. And this book is about deliverance. And okay. I had seen a movie once called The Woman Called Moses, who she was illiterate, and the Holy Spirit used her by his spirit to do the Underground Railroad, to bring slave people, victims of slavery, to bring them to freedom. And she just went about it, just being, you know, tuned into the spirit of the living God, couldn't read or write. And that really inspired. So I love that name. And Moses was a deliverer. God had him in the backside of the desert, and then God gave him his assignment.
Okay. So deliverance from witchcraft explores what is happening in the spiritual realm that is causing families and nations to be torn apart. And in this particular book, you talk about and you address your personal journey as a victim of manipulation and how you transcended. Do you wish to share any of that personal? Can you give us a tidbit of what we might find in the book in terms of your personal journey? I'm sorry.
Yes, my personal journey. I started off, I was a Roman Catholic, and I'm not coming against Catholicism in any way. I uphold, you know, I respect Catholics. I love them. And I thank God for the prayers that I learned when I was a Catholic. Our foundation in Christ, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ is coming again. Our Father, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the Ten Commandments, and I learned those things. But there were some church traditions I tried to uphold, I was not able to uphold. Because we were taught religion. But God, he transitioned me from religion to relationship, which I'll talk about after. So knowing that I was abused as a child, 9-year-old in the bathroom at school, and even though it was for a few seconds, that was the first door that was opened that the enemy entered my life. And then after that, I was abused again when I was about 12 years old by an older girl. And the door was open even wider. And after that, I became promiscuous, looking for love in all of the wrong places. And that happens to a lot of young people. And, you know, we have to be open and honest with this generation and not pretend that we never did anything, because Jesus came to bring sinners to repentance. And I didn't know God at that time, and I just felt I was just wasting my time, you know, going to church because my conscience told me I wasn't doing what was right, but I didn't know what to do, so I just stopped going to church. And that opened the door even more. I was teaching, and close to my school, there was this lady who she would cook for some of the teachers, and I started going to her home for meals at midday. I was a rebellious teenager, got angry with my father, left my father's house because a young man who was coming to visit me, my father pulled him aside. I was tutoring someone at the time and asked what his intentions were, and I was, you know, how rebellious teenagers could be. I found that, you know, I thought he didn't have a right to do that. So in my rebellion, I left home and I got my own place. So I started eating at this lady's house, and the next thing I got married. Oh, she was the first person who said, I love you. My parents were I had good parents. I really had, they were great. My father was a great provider. I went to the village school, walked home for lunch, ate lunch. My mother was a home provider, and my parents took good care of us, the best of their ability. But, and my mother was a churchgoer. My father wasn't, but he didn't. he said he'll stay in his Catholic church. So that was my background. So I didn't know anything about evil. My father said he didn't believe there was any evil around. And so I was naive, and I walked straight into the trap. I was gullible. The first person who said, "I love you, my deceased mother-in-law," and I walked into that trap and fell into that trap, got married to her son, and it was a long ride. I started seeing some red flags. Yeah, but I still didn't know the Lord. I wasn't thinking about God, but God had a plan.
Well, I think he was birthing you for the mission that he had for you, Gemma. With this particular book, one of the things that it's a pretty easy read. It's 247 pages. And tell us a little bit about the layout of the book.
Okay, when God gave it to me, I just started praying. Like the boy with the loaves and fish, I said, God, because I was a retired elementary school teacher, so I knew how to write essays. And I said, God, this is what I know. And I started to pray for the layout of the book. I just got paper and started jotting down and was waiting on God to see exactly how. And he gave it to me bit by bit. I asked him for the skeleton. So it's in four sections. And the first section is about the veil of darkness, because people are enshrouded in darkness and they don't realize it. And there's darkness. Just as there was darkness upon the face of the deep, there's darkness in families who are being torn apart and they don't realize it. And in retrospect, I was looking at my family dynamic. And even though my parents were good providers and homemakers, the spiritual realm, they were in darkness. They didn't know that there's a real devil. And if we're not aware of the devil and his devices, we would stay in darkness for the rest of our lives. And so the first section is about the veil of darkness. And it's about spiritual darkness. It's about spiritual entities that are affecting families. And then the second section was about living in the kingdom of darkness. There are two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. God's light and the devil's darkness. So the book is a contrast about that, light and dark. But then showing how I grew up in darkness, went to school in darkness, spiritual darkness, and didn't know. And then one of the chapters is about headless families. And when a family doesn't pray together, that family is in darkness. And even some families who go to church, there's no family prayer in home. And as long as there's not prayer in the home, the enemy will come in. He definitely will come in. And then the third section is about how I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. And then the second section is of how I was empowered to overcome the darkness inside of me, and how I was able, after 20 years, to be delivered from this entity that had been affecting me. So that's the layout of the book. So it starts about the contrasting, being, revealing the veil of darkness, and then how people could be living in darkness and not aware of it, and also how you can be translated from the kingdom of darkness, and how you can overcome, the power to overcome.
By now, I know a lot of our listeners are already having some questions. If you have questions that you'd like Gemma to address, go to captivatingconversations@yahoo.com. If you don't have access to a computer, we will have a question and answer session at the end, so you will have an opportunity to speak with Gemma. But if you have a question that you'd like to ask Gemma at this time, you may go to captivatingconversations@yahoo.com and we can ask those questions. veil of darkness, Gemma. You talk about spiritual darkness. And can you expound on that just a little bit about the spiritual darkness?
Yeah, the spiritual darkness. In the beginning, there was darkness on the face of the deep. And the spiritual darkness is when people are not aware that there's a spiritual realm. They are not aware that you know, there's a dark side of everything. They're not aware it's a spiritual battle. They're not aware, just as how we have natural darkness and you cannot see except you put the light on, there's also spiritual darkness, and you would not be able to see unless you put the light on. And we know the light of the world is Jesus. So people who do not have Jesus as the light of the world, as the head of their lives, they are really living in spiritual darkness. Because Jesus is the light of the world. And it's only when I was able to be born again by the Spirit of God, I was able to actually see the darkness around me and come out of it. But before that, I couldn't. And the Holy Spirit had me do some statistics about people who actually now still are living without natural electricity in the different nations. And God doesn't want us to be in the dark. He put lights in the sky. And before there was electricity, we had candles, people did different things to make sure that they could see. Nobody likes to be in darkness. And so they followed God. Some used the moon by night to guide them, and they were glad for the daytime, for the sun, so they could see. So God wants man to see and to see. And he gave man the revelation, the understanding, the knowledge to make candles and electricity to flow, to be able to create light. In the same way, God doesn't want anybody to be in darkness. As we are told in Genesis, there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved, and God said, "Let there be light." So God wants humanity to be free from spiritual darkness. And we can tell when someone is in darkness. The Bible says, you can know the fruit you can know the tree by the fruit it bears. And I talked about the faces and disguises of witchcraft. But before I do that, I want to talk about God. He makes provision. God is aware that we don't mean that we may not know we are in darkness. But even in the Old Testament, he's made provision for sins of ignorance. God is aware that people do things in ignorance, especially if they learned behaviors from their parents that may be wrong, but they grew up practicing these things. Like the Bible says that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, telling lies from the womb. And God, he knows everything. He knows it all. He's omniscient. And he understands that people do things in ignorance. So even in the Old Testament, he made provision for the sins of ignorance and doing the blood sacrifice of the animals. So God wants people to be free. If you see things happening in your family, how can we tell if we're in darkness? Separation. Family feuds, disturbances, curses, people cursing one another, breaking the Ten Commandments, murder, lying, stealing, adultery. The Bible tells us in Galatians the works of the flesh. And anybody who's practicing the works of the flesh, they are in darkness. But they may not know that the reason why they're doing it is because they're in spiritual darkness, unless somebody tells them. And that's why Jesus came. And they may not know that there's a way of escape from this darkness. You can be in the light unless somebody takes time to sit and explain to them without condemnation. But because the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning, the Holy Spirit still would like to move in people's lives. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit corrects. I was a teacher. I would give assignments, and the pupils, when they got something wrong, I would show them their mistake, and they will correct it. And I love to teach. I love to work with the slow learners. I love to show them their mistake, and I would explain it 99 times until I saw that light dawn in their eyes. So it was that was my take from it. That was my satisfaction when they finally understood. So God knows that some people have to be taught and be willing to receive correction to say, well, no, this is the wrong way. You know, when we're driving on the street, we see the sign wrong way. It means we can't go that way. That's not the right way. So it's always it's about the Holy Spirit wants to teach people this is right, what is right from wrong, what is true from false. And that is a very basic concerning darkness, how to recognize it, how to acknowledge, how to get out of it.
When you speak of the veil of darkness and even living in a kingdom of darkness, I know many of the listeners, because I myself am thinking, what about people who know that they are in darkness? Or when you say that you have to teach them and they're unwilling to learn or receive that information?
All I pray for is the opportunity. God knows when people are ready. Like my husband and I said, we serve at the Union Gospel Mission, and the chaplain was saying they feed everybody, but some people, they're just not ready for change.
Right.
And that's just the reality of it. You know, so my prayer is, God, I want to feed those who are hungry. I want to be able to help those who are ready. God, prepare them, those who have, you know, gone the wrong way. Those who have chosen, you know, souls who made a wrong choice, they went the wrong way, and who would be willing, if sometimes we're not aware. But as you said, some may be aware. All God wants is said. He said, what delight does he have if the wicked are destroyed? He wants the wicked man, the unrighteous man, to turn from his thoughts. God really wants that. He really wants people to repent. So our only responsibility is to tell them, bring them to a knowledge of the truth, and then let them choose. Because God never forces anything on anyone. He never made puppets, and he's not controlling anybody. He gave us a free will. And in the same way, he doesn't like it when other people are trying to control other people and manipulate, because God is not like that. So it is up to that individual to repent.
And for ourselves, you know, because sometimes we're in denial, even though we made no Christ. Sometimes there's areas in our lives where we need improvement, and we may sometimes be slow to move in the direction in which God is leading us.
Yes, ma'am. And see, there may be open doors from the past. There may be open doors from the past. And if we don't close these doors that will open, like, for instance, I met this person and they were telling me they accepted Christ. But they were telling me about their grandmother who practiced witchcraft and all that she did and stuff like that. And but they were incarcerated. So I still have to respond, because the grandmother opened the door. But what did you do to open the door? And be, you know, so we could always blame our ancestors. You know, we could always blame our parents or mother or father. They opened the door, but they didn't know how to close the door. But now, like, if somebody leaves the door in your house open, the thief will come in. That's a natural door. A thief will come in. And then you will come and say, who left this door open? But who left the door open? Well, yeah, you could tell that person, okay, you need to close the door. But if the person, you know, but if you are the one who came and you saw the door open, you need to close the door. And people need to be taught about closing spiritual doors. Because those doors stay open. We come to Christ. Those doors stay open. And the enemy creeps right back in through the door. He's a deceiver. He departed from Jesus for a season when after Jesus completed his 40-day fast. He departed for a season. The devil hates us. His goal is to try to get as many souls into his kingdom. And so it's God's kingdom versus the devil's kingdom. And so there are doors that people have opened, people 60s, 70s, and they're not aware of it. They don't know about closing open doors. They may accept Jesus, but then they have to go. Deliverance is a process. We have to teach people how to close open doors. And one of the doors, the biggest door that we can open is a spirit of whoredom. You know what whores do. That is the biggest door, that sexual trap. It opens the door to the enemy, not condemning anyone. That's how the enemy came in. I would call it sexual slavery. Some people are addicted to sex. That is a curse. That is an open door, and it started somewhere. Even pornography, that's an open door through the eye gate, through the ears, listening. That's another open door. And God says in his word, and this is for the Christians, God said in his word, that there are six things in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. God is a God of love, but he said there are six things that the Lord hates. Indeed, seven are an abomination. A proud look, God hates that. That's an open door. A spirit that makes one overestimate yourself and underestimate others. That's an open door. A lying tongue. That's an open door for the enemy because his deceptions and lies was the first sin in the garden. Eve had a conversation with the devil. She shouldn't have answered that conversation when he said, didn't God say so and so and so? And he used a scripture. Then hands that shed innocent blood. That's murder. God hates that. If we know what God hates, we'll stand up for what's right. And then a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. God hates wickedness in all forms and fashion. He just hates it. He hates it when people do wicked things to other people. He doesn't like it. Feet that are swift and run into evil. A false witness. Anything false that breathes out lies. Under oath, even under oath, people lie. And those who sow seeds of discord among the brethren, that one, that is what may be hindering people in the church. Sowing seeds of discord, that's an open door, the open mouth. All of these things, God say, out of the same mouth, cursings and blessings, and this shouldn't be. So there are ways that Christians even open the door because nobody, they got saved. But then the next step is deliverance. The next step is, yes, God teaching right from wrong. The things that God loves, the things that God hates. And we have to hate what God hates. And it takes time to teach right from wrong. Just as you go to school, you learn right from wrong. And so in the church, it should be a place where we're teaching this is right. This is wrong. This is the right attitude. This is the wrong attitude. And it's going to take time. It's going to take time, not in a judgmental way, but letting people know true or false. Is this true or is this false? That's why we have those multiple choice questions, true or false. And we know something false. That's one of the red flags that I had after I first got married. O-level certification, which is like equivalent to high school diploma. Before we got married, my husband had said, deceased husband, that he had a certificate and I didn't think I had to ask him to prove it. So when the day I did, after we were married,
this was the first husband, correct?
What did you say?
This was the first husband, correct?
Yeah, the first one, the one who was deceased.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
And so he brought his certificate, but when I looked at it, I saw the same subjects that I did. And I was like, oh, that's a coincidence. But then when I looked, I went to a girls' school, and there was a center, same center number. I know he didn't go to any girls' school. Then when I looked closer at my certificate, I saw where my name was on either side of the name, where some tape had been put. So that was the first red flag. I froze because I never heard anything about forgery, and I didn't know anything about counterfeit. I didn't know anything about any of that. I was naive. So I went to the bedroom, and I got my certificate, and that's when I looked at my certificate, and I looked. And I realized that he had forged my certificate.
Hmm.
That was the first red flag. So God has trained me in the counterfeit. They come against things that are counterfeit. Things look so real. They're so close. So that was my first lesson in counterfeit. I didn't know it then. I didn't know what to call it. I didn't know what it was. I call it red flag. And the Bible talks about false Christ and false prophets and false teachers. The Bible tells us true and false from Genesis to Revelation. It's about true and false. So we need to be taught how to discern. True, it may look like the real thing. It may look like, may smell like the real thing. But we have to be fine-tuned to know the whole truth. And that's something else God put in my spirit around September. I started writing the book about January, February. And God kept saying the whole truth and mindset, those two things. So when we come into God's kingdom, we have a certain mindset. And our brains have to be washed. We have to be brainwashed with the blood of Jesus. So we have to start thinking, changing the mindset. And people haven't changed their mindset because they don't realize they have to. It's a different way of thinking in God's kingdom. And the whole truth about a situation, the Holy Spirit of truth. I will always refer now to the Holy Spirit of truth because we could be deceived like Eve was deceived. So The people need deliverance. Why are they falling in the pulpit? The enemy crept in. There was an open door from the past that they did not close. The enemy crept right in there, right in the pulpit, and brought them down. So it's important that we learn to close doors that were open. Yes,
okay.
We confess the sin of our forefathers, but then we have to acknowledge I opened the door when I did such and such and such.
Okay. I know in this book, Gemma, we have spoken in person, and I've seen the book. It reveals how to overcome the plan of the devil and receive healing, deliverance, and restoration in your life. Is there anything else that you have found that is a byproduct of this book that you didn't anticipate?
People assume that when you say witchcraft, you're talking about a witch with a hat on sitting over a cauldron. But the Bible definition about which there are faces and disguises of witchcraft, like a spirit of divination, observing times. It talks about familiar spirits. It talks about necromancy. Speaking with the dead, and I went into a chapter about that, about what the Bible, you know, spoke about, you know, reason of dead spirits. One of the things that God had me to do was the sex trafficking. One morning I was waiting, and God said, do sex trafficking. That is an open door. It is tearing families apart. I remember one of the ministers who ministered at Woman Dawit Lewis, she spoke about she and her husband have a halfway house for women. victims of sex trafficking. And they related the story about crossing the Mediterranean, how the sex traffickers promised to get jobs. These victims, these women, left their country, and they gave all their documents to these sex traffickers who were dressed as police. They trusted them. But then they took them in the middle of the, they took them out there and they raped and molested them. And they started to, they were going to sell, their plan was to sell them as prostitutes. And then while they were in the Mediterranean waters, the police came and they threw some of them overboard. And this story was so disturbing to my spirit. And I was thinking about mothers, fathers, children, looking, waiting to hear if their daughter had gotten a job and a better life. And they would never, ever, ever hear anything. They wouldn't know what happened because there's no way, all the different languages, there's no way that one person, because people, you know, women from different villages would be able to go and tell that story. And that is so heartrending, and God is seeing all of this. And he wants all of this exposed, because that's manipulation, that's witchcraft. That is, it's like, so look how many families torn apart because of that sex demon. It's sex slave. And I personally believe that the real slavery is sexual slavery. That's what the slave masters did anyhow. Molested the black woman. And that's what that sexual demon, it opened up a whole can of worms. And it is still prevailing in high places. It is still prevailing in high places. So with that in mind, it is so much. Maybe we don't have a family, but it's families in nations are being torn apart. And that's just one example. Being torn apart. Families and nations being torn apart by this sex demon and all of this slavery, sex slavery. But God warns, and that is the beautiful thing. God wants to expose all of this that is so rampant in the nations, because he's the king of nations. He's the governor among the nations. Nations, look at what's happening in Haiti. God hates idolatry in any form and fashion. But doors are open when people worship idols. Doors are open to the devil. It just opens the door. And devastation comes in. If we're not under God's umbrella of protection, if we're not praying to God, the creator of the heavens of heaven, the enemy will come right in. And people have to be taught. God knows, like God was able to bring deliverance to Saul. He had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So God knows those who will listen when they hear the whole truth. God knows how to visit them. How to visit them. And make the crooked places straight.
So if someone had a family member, Gemma, and they feel like they're a victim, or they themselves have been a victim of manipulation, how would they get deliverance? How would
they
seek deliverance?
They have to be born again. They have to be born again by the Holy Spirit of truth. And I call it translation from one kingdom to another.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't thinking about God. But I had a sister who needed help. She was a victim of depression, deep depression, who had gone overseas to Canada. And she was 19. And she suffered with it for years. And I was the youngest one, and it bothered me that I couldn't help her. And I was telling my friend, that's one of the teachers at school, and she said, I can take you to someone who would be able to help your sister. And she did take me to this person. And when I told him what was my concern, he had someone read John 3:3-8. Jesus, and I'll read it. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And that's the first step. And when I heard that word, it changed my life. I struggled, but it changed my life. I wasn't thinking about God, but God used a situation to send me to a place. It wasn't even a church, to send me to a place where I would hear the gospel truth. You must be born again. And that's the first step. Like a baby, you have to be born again into God's kingdom to see the light.
Okay. One of the things that I want to do at this time, Gemma, is I have several listeners on the line. If you are listening, I would ask that you mute your phone in the background. If you don't have a question, as to mute out any outside noise. So if you're on a cell phone or on a regular house phone, a landline, if there's a way to mute your phone in the background, I'll ask that you do this at this time. I'll begin to unmute people and then ask if anybody has any questions at this time. While I do that, Jim, I'd like for you to talk about, I did say that you could go to www.deliverancefromwitchcraft.com to obtain a book. Are there other ways that people may be able to obtain a book?
Through Amazon. Well, when you go to the website, they're going to send you through Amazon or Ex Libris.
Mm-hmm.
At this present moment, that's the only way. I'm still waiting on the shipment of books. It hasn't arrived yet, and I was, you know, getting concerned about it. But Pastor Emma Davis, our pastor, preached a message yesterday. Delay is not denial. So I just have to rest at that and be content. And everything is God's perfect timing. So I don't have a shipment yet. But in the meantime, they can go on the website or they can just go directly to Amazon. And it's available
and
there in hardcover stuff. Mm-hmm.
And I think this would be a good time, too, to plug your church, the Birthing Place International. It's in Fort Worth, Texas. Many of you are familiar with the Birthing Place International. But if you want to hear more of Gemma and more of her ministry, that would be one place to start. I have now unmuted everyone on the call, so I did not receive any emails directly to CaptivatingConversations.com. But if there's a caller on the line at this time that would like to address a question directly to Gemma, I'll take your question at this time. Anyone have any questions? Oh, go right ahead.
I would like to ask a question. Does the spirit of witchcraft come through rebellion? You know, is that the only way the spirit of witchcraft can come through is rebellion?
Yeah, most definitely rebellion. Because Adam and Eve were rebellious in the garden. And they were deceived. So rebelling against God and his commandments and what he says. So that is really the main thing is rebellion, rebelling against God's authority, rebelling against his word, rebelling against his commandments, being disobedient, because we are told in Deuteronomy, if we obey God, blessings will run us down and overtake us. If we disobey, the curses will follow us. So it is rebellion, mm-hmm. because the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It states that very emphatically, because we know King Saul, he rebelled against God. He did his own thing. He rebelled, and he didn't do what he was told, and he lost the throne because of that. He was just there as a figurehead for years, but he was rebellious. And now, in my estimation, yes, the main sin, it is rebellion, rebelling against God.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wanted to ask about witchcraft. Has it passed on down from generations? Could it be passed on down, from your mom or grandma or something, that happened to them in the past? And they birthed a child in it, or?
Yes, it most certainly can be passed down if the door has been open. People have come from different cultures, and they have different beliefs and customs. I looked at a movie a couple months ago. It was based in Africa. And their belief, because of their belief, they allowed, the father had committed, killed somebody by accident. But their belief was that the virgin, if there was a virgin in the family, they had to take that virgin and take it to the witch doctor in the village to live. That made me so mad. And it was their custom, it was their culture, it was their religious tradition. They believed in it wholeheartedly. And this Christian man went to minister there, and he was trying to get them to turn away from that custom, but they were so superstitious. They believed that if the young girl didn't go, that she will die. He tried to sneak her away. Eventually, she went, tried to get her out, and eventually she died. So, based on the tradition, people's culture, their tradition, their beliefs, so that is something that could be inherited. But, different ways, if you, like being a card cutter, palm reading, all of that could open the door. Like when I was in high school, we were just playing, read the book by Rob Sandlang, didn't even read the whole thing, and he said, okay, let's meet in the spirit on the bench at school at so-and-so time. It didn't work, and we didn't bother with it. But that opens a door. So we don't know what our parents did when they were growing up. They wouldn't tell us. Parents don't confess their sin to their children. So we could just, by faith, just close doors if we suspect something. But then we have to ask the Holy Spirit, did I open a door when I went to palm reader? Because those things I was surprised when I came over here. I was advertised. I was like, oh, my goodness. And so things that are familiar here and that become a norm with some people and they grow up that way and they don't realize, like a curse on somebody. People believe in burning different kind of candles and all that sort of thing. I light a candle if the electricity goes. I will light a candle. You give me a candle for, perfume, scented candle for Christmas, I will light one just to perfume the atmosphere. But for religious purpose, no. If you do it for religious purpose, if you grew up with that, that's what you saw, That's an open door. God is not interested in all of these things. So it is possible that parents may open the door unawares. If your parents are still alive, pray about it. You know, God may give you an opportunity to have a conversation. Just to listen, not to judge, just to listen and pray about it. But we, as I said, we don't know what our parents did. I don't know what my parents did. I don't know. So, but I looked at my family dynamic and saw so much drama, and I'm the youngest one in my father's children. That, you know, I didn't know I had two older sisters until I was about 12 years. You know what I'm saying? So doors are open before we even get, before we're even born. And it's just an individual thing, asking the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal to you if there are any open doors, or you by faith could, you know, pray by faith. We can go to Galatians chapter 5, and it outlines all the works of the Spirit. And we could by faith plead the blood of Jesus, because the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we could just by faith take that up. Those are the works of the flesh. They are manifest, the blood of Jesus. God, I confess the sin of adultery in Jesus' name. I close every open door on my mother's side, my father's side. Just go through the whole list by faith. And then if you may know a family that may be affected, and you could stand in the gap for that family, because God wants us to intercede. He wants us to intercede for other families and as people are born. Because this generation, they've been open to more things than our generation. Right, the world is practically at their fingertips. Whatever you want to learn to do, you can just Google it and it's right there. You know what I'm saying? So people do things in ignorance, and it's just the Holy Spirit to reveal. If you see devastation in a family, there definitely was a door open. What door was open? That is what God will have to reveal by sitting and listening and talking and asking questions. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I do have one other question, though.
Uh-huh.
If a person, I've been knowing people, you know, I know a few people, and sometimes, you know, people, what do you think about people that carry like a scent, not a, you know, bad smell, nothing like that, like not clean, but a scent with them, like, everywhere you go, you know, like you can go in the house and it's a scent, and you can, they can come outside, and they have a that same scent that they carry, and these people that I know, these are different people that I know that they're not the nicest people though, you know, so I've always wondered is it something about a scent that they carry with them. I don't, you know, I always wondered, was that witchcraft? It may sound dumb, but I've always wondered that, you know.
It's possible. I remember when I was it my, one of my kids was small, I had just delivered. And my deceased husband, he was having this problem with this smell. He said it was following him wherever he was going. I wasn't smelling anything, but he was smelling it. And it was revealed that whatever it was sent to me. But because I was a believer at that time, it couldn't affect me because I was protected. It was bothering him. He was going really berserk about this. It was real to him. It was bothering him, following him everywhere. So people do all sorts of stuff. They believe in rubbing certain things. There's so much I don't know about what people do, how they do their witchcraft. God didn't reveal all that to me. He just made me realize through dreams and visions, through dreams, that, you know, unusual things were happening in my life. And that's how he got my attention. One of the first dreams I had was this, I got in this apartment, and this woman was just back and forth pacing at night. And I was like, who is this woman? Why is she doing that? It took me years to find out, to solve this thing. But God, if something is, and if you're in Christ and something is bothering you, God will reveal the root of it. But it bothered him. It bothered him. I think he went and he got baptized. But then he got baptized, and I think it left him after a while. But I guess they got scared of me after that because God was protecting me. So that scent could possibly be something to do with witchcraft because people believe in rubbing stuff and doing all sort of things. You're not talking about Bengay, right?
No, it's not Bengay. It's like you can eat right by them and you can smell them, you know? Like,
it's weird.
They carry different scents. You know,
right,
like...
Right. Well, you plead the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Yes. Well,
it wasn't body odor, is what you're describing. It was a scent other than body odor, is what you're describing.
Right. It's a scent that they carry. You know, it doesn't matter. Everywhere you go, you can go in the house, you come out, you can smell the same, you know, and even like them around, they carry a scent. I don't know if it's just that I can smell it, you know. I have a strong gift of discernment, too, but I don't know if it's just me that can smell it. I mean, it's not because, you know, even I know now, I've heard other people say, you know, I know where you've been or whatever, you know. So I always wondered that for years is that witchcraft, if somebody put witchcraft on, because like I said, I'm not judging anyone, but they're not the nicest bunch, you know, different people. These different people that I know like this are always like, you know, like mad or something. So I don't know.
So are you saying that the scent, it comes on you if you're around them? Is that what you're saying?
It comes on whoever is around. Like you go in the house and come out and you smell that scent. Or if you were even around them, then you know you're around them because they carry a certain scent. You know?
The blood of Jesus over that scent. So if possible, and if you still don't behave very well, you start to plead the blood of Jesus and pray for their deliverance.
Yes.
To avoid it if possible, and you just plead the blood of Jesus. But people believe in all sorts of things. They will carry stuff. They will rub certain oils and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's possible.
But what if they don't know? What if they don't know that they even have this scent?
You can stand in the gap and start to fast and pray for their deliverance of that family and plead the blood of Jesus. And don't try to approach them. You just start praying. You just start praying for their deliverance.
Yes.
Thank
That's
you, Gemma.
Do
we have other questions? Other questions from any listeners? We have about 21 minutes that remain. Did I hear a listener who had a question?
I had a question in reference to the end of the book. Did you include any prayers on deliverance for individuals who do not know how to pray in reference to being tangled, in reference to being bound and chained to witchcraft or familiar spirits? Did the Holy Spirit lead you to add any prayers on deliverance in your book?
Yes. In the first section, when I did the contrast about the veil of darkness, the last chapter, I wrote pit prayers of desperation for deliverance. Pit prayers of desperation. And it's based on scripture. I had to paraphrase it because because of copyright, you can't do more than 5 lines. So I had to paraphrase them. And you know, I wanted it to be easy too. And I did write some prayers and pit prayers of desperation for deliverance. Just some basic things from the Psalms. I wrote from Psalm 6 and Psalm 25, Psalm 51. But the crying out to God, right? Lord, I'm pleading with you to blot out all my wrongdoings from your book of records. I know you're overflowing with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly and cleanse my soul of the sin I've committed. I'm being haunted by this sin, and name the sin you committed. I take full responsibility for what I have done, and I will no longer blame someone else for my evil and wicked actions. And that's part of Psalm 51 that I paraphrase for the modern-day person. So I call them pit prayers of desperation. Somebody is desperate, really desperate. I did include that in one of the chapters. Thank you for that question.
Amen.
Any other
Thank
questions?
You.
Any other questions? Well, Jim, I want to plug your book again, Deliverance from Witchcraft. You can pick it up on Amazon, or you can go to www.deliverancefromwitchcraft.com. Do you have a phone number also, Gemma, that you can provide us?
My personal phone number?
No, I thought there was a number to order
the
book.
Oh, yeah, there's a number on the, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Let's see. But if you want, like, to have a paperback copy, you can dial 978. Wait a minute. Just go to the website because these numbers don't look right to me.
Okay. Okay, so either Amazon or www.deliverancefromwitchcraft.com.
Correct.
Also, if you have any questions or you need prayer, or you would like to directly correspond with Gemma Henry, you can go to the Birthing Place Ministries at yahoo.com.
INT, Birthing Place Ministries, INT.
INT, that's correct. The Birthing Place Ministries, INT, at yahoo.com. If you want to send letters or an email directly to Gemma, any questions that maybe that you don't want to ask publicly here on our radio show. But if you have any questions, any concerns, anything that you would want to correspond with her directly, the Birthing Place Ministries, INT, at yahoo.com, or you can go and purchase a book from Amazon or www.deliverancefromwitchcraft.com. I would like for you, Jim, at the very end to lead us in prayer. It looks like we have about 17 more minutes, so I'll let you decide what we should do at this particular point. We can wrap up early, or I'll take other questions that listeners may have at this time.
I also want to add, for anyone who's listening and you do not have email, you can write me at the Birthing Place International, Post Office Box, 24295, Post Office Box 24295, Fort Worth, Texas 76124. That zip is 76124. I'll repeat it. The Birthing Place International, Post Office Box 24295, Fort Worth, Texas, 76124. And that is just my personal ministry. It's not a church. My church is Anointed Rock, and my pastor is Pastor Emma Davis, but that is just my personal ministry. And I wanted to share that with this book, my relationship with God was built, how God revealed himself as the great I am, how he revealed himself in so many different ways, as the Lord of hosts, as the righteous judge, how he revealed himself as the King of kings, the Lord of lords, as my relationship with him was built up. So it's not an overnight thing, it's a step-by-step thing, and it's like you go to a hospital and it takes time for your situation to be diagnosed. You could give the symptoms, and the doctors will run the test, and then your situation will be diagnosed. I always pray for the right diagnosis, the right doctor. And then the ministry begins, and it's a process. It's not an overnight thing, but it's a process. So I wanted to share that as well. Do we have any more questions?
Yeah.
Were you
as
saying something,
host,
Michelle?
Yes, as the host, I'd like to say to you, Gemma, we would love to have you back at some time. So once listeners, once you have the books and they're actually in their hand, people have a chance to read, digest, actually integrate some of the teachings in your book into their personal life, we'd like to have you back again. So if people have follow-up questions, maybe they will have other things that that maybe they aren't thinking of at this time that may be things they might want to ask at a later date once we've had a chance to actually read the book in its entirety.
I would love that. I would love to come back again. I'm glad for this opportunity and to share about the book, and I would love if to entertain any questions or concerns. It wouldn't be a problem at all.
I wanted to ask you if we don't have any other questions from listeners, because of I want to preserve as much time at the end for listeners to actually address you. But if we don't have any questions, can you give us a short little overview about the Headless Family? That was one of the chapters of how you had the book broke down, and that's something that interests me a whole lot. And I was just kind of biting at the bit, kind of wondering where that was going to lead us.
The Headless Family. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." So Christ was under authorities, God, Christ, then supposedly the man, and then the woman. But if there's no man around, that's a headless family. But when we do our taxes and they ask who's the head of the household, if it's a woman in the household, she's the head of the family. But she could come under Christ, because Christ is the head of all principality and power. So a headless family is a family where there's not a man in authority, a man under Christ. And you can have a man who's physically there, but if he's not in under Christ, that house has no head. That's a headless family. But if the man is under Christ, Christ is the head of that man, then there's headship in that home. So God created man to be under Christ. Christ was in submission to God, the Heavenly Father. And if the man is not in submission, that family's headless. But if the woman is a praying woman, she's the spiritual head of the household under Christ, not usurping authority over the man. I'm not talking about an abusive relationship. We have a good man as provider and all of that. So in the spirit, the woman would cover the family, the spiritual, establish Christ as the head of the household. That's an important question. Who is the head of this household? Who fills out the taxes? Who is the head? So Uncle Sam asked that question. And if women need to ask, who is the head of my household? And if you don't have an answer to that question, I want to encourage, let Christ be your head. Because, millionaires committing suicide, hanging themselves. They have everything money can buy. But because there's no head, they're not under Christ, they lose their head. Without Christ, we have no head. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. He is the head, and we are the church. He is our head, and we have established Christ. He is the head of all principality and power as head over our lives. And some people have lost their head. Have you, like we say, have you lost your mind? There's no Christ as head there. So that is that is how I coined that phrase, the headless family. No sense of direction. If you lose your head, no sense of direction. Without Christ, there's no direction. You're just lost. So that's what I mean when I said the headless family.
We have 10 minutes remaining. Gemma, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Okay. Are there any particular prayer requests?
Okay.
Okay, one more thing I would like to add before I pray, and it's pertaining to people in the body of Christ. If people do not pay their tithes, it opens the door to the devil.
Yeah.
It comes. You open yourself to a curse. If we are responsible for what we know, God will judge us for what we know. We are responsible for what we know. If we know to do good and we don't do it, it is sin. And I know sometimes Christians compromise, but then we have to be accountable to somebody who could walk us through and being accountable and say, okay, I want to be accountable to you for at least 6 months or a year. I did pay my tithes. I did pay my tithes. When we have that accountability, we could break that curse because the enemy could come in and you're wondering why God is not blessing. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you this evening, God. Thank you for this opportunity, God. We plead the blood of Jesus, God, over every family dynamic, God. Every listener, God. The blood of Jesus, God. Every listener, God. God, we pray for families, God. God, you said you're going to bless us and make our name great. And in us shall families of the earth be blessed. And God, we thank you that every listener, God, Lord, has influence, their circle of influence, their families around them. So we include every family. We plead the blood of Jesus by faith. We plead the blood of Jesus over families, God. Over families in this nation, nations of the world, God. We pray for healing and deliverance, God, for families, God. We ask you to stretch forth your mighty right hand. Expose the plans of the enemy, God. Reveal, God. God, we confess, God. We confess sins, God. The blood of Jesus, oh God. All the works of the flesh, we stand in the gap this evening. We confess adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. We confess witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, God. We stand in the gap and we confess the sin, God. We plead the blood, God, you know, those who will repent, God. And, oh, God, when they hear the news, God, when they hear the good news of the gospel, God, we pray, oh, God, for sinners to be converted unto you, God. We pray, oh, God, you're going to penetrate the darkness, God, in family. Penetrate families tonight, God. Headless families, God. Families, oh God, who are not praying, God. We plead the blood of Jesus, oh God. Over the devastation and the division, God. And the breakup in families that causing families to be broken up and separated. All the divorce and separation, God. Lord, we come against family feud, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the bad blood in families, God. The walls and barriers of division and separation and confusion, God. We bind that spirit of witchcraft in the name of Jesus, God. God, you know what's going on behind closed doors. You know what's being hidden, God. You see all the family secrets. You know what caused families to come to that point, God. Oh, the blood of Jesus, God. God, we thank you, God. All those who are taking drugs, God, another open door, God. All the painful situations. You came to bind up the broken heart, God. And we thank you, O God, for stretching forth your mighty right hand. Intervene, God. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Turn situations around, God. Bring deliverance, God, spirit, soul, and body, God. God, we thank you, O God. We plead the blood of Jesus, God. We pray your holy refining fire to destroy works of the flesh, God. Prostitutes and whoremongers and gamblers, God. All the works of the flesh, God. Bring deliverance, God. Bring healing, God. Separate them, God. Cause them to feel uncomfortable, God, in the midst of their situation. What are they doing, God? Visit them, God. pluck them out, oh God, of the dens of iniquity, God. We plead the blood of Jesus. Sever ungodly connections. Those who are being manipulated or controlled in any way, God, wherever they may be, God, in the prison system, God, all the manipulation and control, God, we bind it in Jesus' name, God. We plead the blood of Jesus, God. Those, oh God, Lord, assigned to gangs who are afraid to come out, God, because you said they make themselves a prey, but God, we cover them with your blood. We plead the blood of Jesus upon their souls. Those who want to come away from the gangs, God, and feel intimidated, we bind that spirit of intimidation in the name of Jesus. Show up in the midst of the situation. Show up in that prison cell. Show up in the neighborhood. Show up in the streets. Show up wherever there's manipulation or intimidation. God, intervene, intervene. Holy Spirit of truth, be poured out. Open spiritual eyes. Remove the veil, the scales from people's eyes, that they will see you, Jesus. They realize their darkness, and they'll begin to cry out to you, God. God, I ask you, oh God, to visit them, God. Visit them, God. Put the laborers across their path, God. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you for breakthroughs, for breaking up the plans of the enemy, for destroying yokes of bondage, for turning the way of the wicked upside down, upside down. You did it for me. Do it for them, God. Break up the idols, those who are worshiping idols, false gods. Visit them, God. You see, you're going to pour your spirit upon all flesh, God. Speak through dreams and visions. Speak, God, Roboshika, to all generations. You're the God, you're the King of ages, God. You're the God of all generations, God. We confess that sin of pride and rebellion. Break it up, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over the body of Christ from the pulpit to the pew, God. Any spirit of witchcraft or manipulation or control in the church, let your holy refining fire destroy it. Everything false, everything cunning, everything crooked and crafty, God. Reveal it, expose it, bring it down, bring deliverance to innocent victims in the pews. Make a way of escape for them through the blood of the Red Sea. Make a way of escape, a way of escape. Wherever there's abuse or misuse and manipulation, any form or fashion, God, we just thank you for intervening. Stretch forth your mighty right hand. Bring deliverance for families. Bring deliverance to nations, God, who may have sold out because of the God of Mammon. We bind that in Jesus' name. And we release your Holy Spirit of truth to be poured out in all fullness to set the captive free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Gemma. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm going to look forward to having you on our next show as a follow-up co-host once your book is released and people have an opportunity to read it. Is there anything that you have for our listeners at this time?
Just to thank you for the opportunity, Misha. Thank you for being so gracious to invite me. Hallelujah. You've been such a blessing, showing such an interest in the book, and I appreciate that. And I know it was God put that on your heart. May he richly reward you as he alone can. I want to thank everyone for taking time to listen in and to support with this book as it's going forth to be catapulted to the nations in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have 40 seconds that remain. I want to bless, thank all of you for joining us with Captivating Conversations. I'm your host, Michelle Jones. Reach out to us next week. We usually have shows on Wednesday nights, but this week we just had a special guest, and this was a special opportunity to meet with Gemma. So until our next show, have a good evening.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just wanna tell the truth, not it.